gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find gentle shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day.
Well, thank you for coming. Memorial services meant a great deal to Jill. She only missed one the time that she was in our church, and that was when I failed to inform her that a member of the church had died, and she missed the memorial service. That is the only time that Jill ever fussed at me, but she did fuss at me that time. We want to do two things this afternoon. First of all, we want to glorify God with this service because that's what Jill would want. You understand that she is in glory right now, and she wants this service to glorify her Savior. And then we want to remember Jill, of course, because that's what God would want. And we want to honor these two individuals. Jill was born August 4th, 1946 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and died on October 22nd. She is survived by one aunt, Clara Baker, and cousins Jay, Jeff, Linda, Debbie, Cindy, Tim, and Todd. She was preceded in death by her mother, Jeannie Derrigan, her aunt, Wanda, and grandparents, Maurice and Bertha Gangloff. I am going to be using Jill's Bible for the service. This is her Bible. In fact, it is well worn. It was well read. She has lots of stuff underlined, notes put in, messages I preach, she would put Kim Gray next to it. Messages that Jerry Thorpe preached, she would put that. And she used her Bible often. One of the verses that she requested that we read at this service is in Lamentations chapter 3. Let me read it to you. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is a wonderful thing in your life to have hope. And that's what this book is all about. It tells us exactly how we have hope. This right here is a Bible reading schedule. Many, many times used. She read her Bible through every year. She loved the Word of God. And this Bible gives mute testimony to that. Tina's going to do the eulogy. Tina, if you'd come.
For those of you who have been a part of our church, you know that Jill was here when we came in 1987. She had been a part of the church that was Liberty Baptist Church in town. And then in 1999, we relocated out here to Goodyear and formed Harvest Baptist Church. But Jill has been a part of our church family since before we came here. And so she was the longest member of our group. And this is a hard one. They're all hard, believe me. But this is a hard one. And again, like Pastor says a lot of times, God didn't say it was going to be easy. He just said he was going to walk with us every step of the way. And we're going to trust him for that today. Okay. Jill's childhood was spent, as Pastor said, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Cleveland, Ohio, and New York. Spending lots of time with her grandparents, Maurice, his name was Mose, Mose and Bertha, and Aunt Wanda's two boys, Jeff and Jay. Jeff remembers Jill loving to play in the playhouse that her grandpa built for her. She was a waitress, she was a homemaker. Wherever her imagination took her, she loved being in that playhouse, and he has such fond memories. They were all just stair-step kids. A lot of them were born in the same year, and they just had such a great time together. And he told me, he said, this wasn't a little playhouse. This was a playhouse, and it had rooms and everything in it. It was a wonderful place for the imagination that Jill had. Her cousin Linda, Jill called them Linda and Frank. Frank was the cousin-in-law, but she called him her Texas cousin. So when she was talking about her cousin, she'd say, the ones from Ohio, the ones from here and there. She defined them by what state they lived in. And Frank and Linda were her Texas cousin. And she told me that in her childhood that all of the cousins would spend weeks together in the summer. One summer they would alternate between Minnesota and then Ohio. So every week, she told me about going to Lake Erie one time, and they walked to Lake Erie. The kids did. Walked to Lake Erie and put their feet in Lake Erie. And then later on, they couldn't do that anymore because Lake Erie is too polluted. So they decided not. And you know Jill's not putting her foot in a polluted lake, that's for sure. They have all remained, had a close relationship throughout their lives. And Jill, if you were in our services on Wednesday night and Jill was here, she would always say, and she would say it just like this every time, I can hear her voice, please pray for my family, the Knables, the Bakers, and the Lewises. How many of you remember that phrase? The Knables, the Bakers, and the Lewises. She loved her family, and she wanted us as a church family to pray for them. In early 1970, Jill moved. She graduated from high school. She moved to Phoenix, Arizona with her grandparents, her mother Jeannie and her aunt Wanda. Jill went at like 18 or whatever. I don't know exactly how old she was or if she started in American Airlines before she came here or whatever. But I know she was really young when she started at American Airlines. And she was employed with them until her retirement, which was in May 1995. She would come to, being in church was very important to her. And I remember she got off of work, and if we were having church, Jill would come in her American Airlines uniform. And she, all you got to do is look at those pictures. She was a knockout. And she was so cute in that uniform. One of the perks of working for American Airlines was traveling. And Jill loved to travel. She went to Israel. She went to the UK. She went to Spain. And she went to France. That was a really big trip for her. She was so excited about that one. And she also went to Tahiti. So I don't know where that comes in, but she went to Tahiti. And she loved spending time with her Texas cousins. And they would go to Texas. They went to lakes in Texas and Missouri. They loved going to Branson and also Alabama, where I didn't know that they had really good beaches in Alabama. But they do, I guess. Or someplace. Is it Alabama? It may not be Alabama, but whatever it was, I can't remember. But she said there was a good beach there, so wherever it was. She had an affinity for water. She loved going to the beach. It brought a peace to her soul, and I truly understand that because that's something that I really enjoy too, is the beach. But she said she would be just as happy with a pool of water, and that would make her happy too. She loved music. She loved all kinds of music. The Kingston Trio was a big one. And the New Christy Minstrels, Tijuana Brass, and Mark Gray. Go figure, people. Linda shared that Jill enjoyed listening to. She didn't have any children. But she took those cousins' children, her cousins' children, and she became their aunt to them. And she would listen to their recitals and things long distance. And it had to do with her love for music, but it also had to do with her love for her family. She was also a staunch, this is going to be a shocker to some of you guys here. She was also a staunch patriot. She loved this country. She was a strong supporter of the John Birch Society. In fact, that's how one of the first things when we came here, a friend of in the church, Billy Agnew, took Pastor and I to a John Birch Society meeting. First time I'd ever been to anything like that. And Jill was there. And I'd like to say it this way. She was an informed participant in the political discourse. Okay. She researched everything and supported the causes. And people she believed, she supported people who believed her political views. As I said, she was a member of Liberty Baptist Church when we came. Her mother's funeral, where Gentle Shepherd, I didn't remember it, but when I was looking at the book that's out there, is the book we use for Jeannie Darrigan's, her mother's funeral. And in it, she had written that Gentle Shepherd was saying, and underneath of it, she said, why, with a question mark. And I looked at Marlene and I said, I wonder why she said why. Was she questioning why her mother's later picked Gentle Shepherd. Marlene looks at me and she goes, Tina, the name of the song that Rosita Gonzalez sang was Why? And you sang Gentle Shepherd. But that's why we play Gentle Shepherd today, was because it was one of the songs that Jill asked for. But Jeannie's funeral service was the first service, that funeral that Pastor did after he came to the valley. Shortly after her mother's death, Pastor preached a message on make sure your salvation. A couple of weeks later, you know, Jill never did anything in a hurry. If you ever went out to eat with her, that answers it right there. Yes, she was one of those, in my vocabulary these days, and the ladies who I know will remember recognize this, she was a mindful eater. She was she was one of those ones that every bite was chewed. I think she told me one time 25 times. But anyhow, she was a mindful eater. We went to the Kingston Trio one time out at Sun City, and we stopped at Furs or Luby's or some kind of cafeteria type eating. And everybody, you know, we had to be at the place at a certain time. And I'm telling you, that woman wasn't budging until she was done with her food. Now, we did learn a very important lesson with potlucks and stuff. Jill goes through the line first, because otherwise we never get back to anything that we're going to do, because she needed her time to eat. But that's just how she felt about it. And when Jill felt about something a certain way, that's how she felt about it. And you weren't budging her on it. But Pastor was talking about make sure your salvation. So a couple of weeks later, on a Sunday night, Jill walked forward. And Pastor asked her, why did you come forward, Jill? He thought maybe there was something he was going to call me over and pray with her and whatever it was about. And she said, I'm not saved, and I need to be saved. So he did call me over. We sat right there in the old building, and I had the privilege of leading Jill Watson to the Lord. And the next week, she was baptized. We had a baptistry that was built down into the ground on the platform. And so everybody had to stand up. Adam, you remember this. Everybody had to stand up and so over the pews so that you could watch the person being baptized, because you had to stand up. And Jill was tiny anyhow, so you couldn't hardly, all you would have seen was her head. But that is such a precious memory, and it gives such hope that Pastor talked about, that we will see that blessed woman again, and that we are so thankful for that. She loved her church family, and you loved her right back. Since her death, so many of you have shared your memories with her, and she must have been on the phone a lot. Because everyone I talk with, you either had an appointment to talk with her every week, or you talked with her, and it was not a short conversation. Y'all shared in fellowship with one another, and it meant a lot to her. The phone calls, the long meals, the discussions. And this is something I want some of you to realize. If you sent Jill a card, she kept it. Boxes of cards from people who loved her. And that is such a blessing to do it. She had one in her purse, in her Bible, and I was able to give it to the lady who it was for. It was very important to her. But outside of this church, she had good friends. She has a Silver Sneakers crew that's here. Several people who are part of her Silver Sneakers crew are here today. She enjoyed you. She enjoyed you enough to take a picture, too. So it's right out there if you want to know what that is all about. And she has friends. She has Diane. There's several Dianes, but this Diane is from New York. And Diane, she had known her since sixth grade. They had been in sixth grade today, and I spoke with her this last week. And she just said, we were like two peas in a pod. We were hooked. We went through until we graduated. They attended grade school and then on into high school. They completed high school together. And then, of course, our Silver Sneakers. And then a lady by the name of Alice Smith was very dear to her. And she took trips with her. She's in a lot of the travel pictures back there. And then also Betty Norcross. I have known Betty as long as I've known Jill, and Betty is a very, very dear friend of Jill's. And then not quite as long term, but Diana, see, we have a Diane, and a Diana also, and her brother Don. They were very close to them. They live close to each other, and they had spent a lot of time together. And during the last month of, or several weeks, 3 weeks of Jill's life, Diana was her go-to gal. I'm going to say this because I think it's really important. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you to do something, I'm talking to myself too, do it. And that's exactly what Bonnie Disbrow did just the couple of days or the day before that Jill died. And she made a call to Jill because Jill hadn't been getting back with her. And she told her, she said, if you don't call me back, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Well, Jill called her and talked with her. I may not have everything exactly right, but this is what I understood. But she got Jill help. And I am forever grateful to Bonnie for doing that for Jill and doing it for us as well. You know, I'm also thankful, and I'm sure that God in his infinite wisdom has woven our lives together with Jill. She blessed our hearts, and we're going to miss her greatly. But this is not the final thread to be woven into this tapestry. Thanks be to God, because of his unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ, we're going to see Jill again. I'm going to tell you one strand of this thread. For whatever reason, Jill's family moved to Arizona. Jill went to John Birch. At John Birch, she met Billy Agnew, a very dear woman from Liberty Baptist Church. Billy led Jill's mother, Jeannie, to the Lord. The pastor at that church at the time was Emmett Cox, and he led Jill's grandmother to the Lord. And then the Lord allowed me to lead Jill to the Lord. But that is just one of the threads in this tapestry that we call Jill Watson. Thank you for being here today. I don't know whether Jill can see it or not, but she sees people who loved her and cared for her throughout her life, and I am so thankful for each of you.
Time won't matter anymore. just across the river, where my faith shall mend in
time.
There's just a few more days to labor, and I will take my heavenly flight. You'll arrive. I'm longing for you, and
someday
for me I'll stand.
The desire of the Apostle Paul's heart is found in Philippians 1:21. He makes this statement, "For to me to live is Christ." What does it mean to live for Christ? Well, first of all, of course, it means to accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Jill believed that you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. She believed that because that's what the Bible teaches. She believed that once you are truly saved, you are saved forever and you are secure forever, because that's what the Bible teaches. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. She believed that she had a home in heaven that was prepared just for her, because that's what the Bible teaches. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive ye unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You prepare for heaven just like Jill did. You come to the place in your life where you say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross." To live for Christ also means to be faithful to Him. To be faithful to Him means to be faithful to your family. I know Jill loved her family. The reason I know that is because I have been praying for the Lewises, the Knables, and the Bakers for 34 years, simply because Jill would say, "Please pray for my family." And we prayed together for her family many times. She wanted her family to have the same peace that she had that comes from serving the Lord faithfully. To live for Christ also means to love this book, to love the Word of God, and to love the house of God. And this might sound self-serving, but I don't want it to be. This book also teaches you are to love the man of God that God places over you. And Jill did. And I am so thankful for her. Her family extended to her church family because her family told us that. She said, your church was Jill's family. And we were for 35 years. And it has been a joy of our heart to have her a part of our family. And of course, she loved her country. She was a red, white, and blue patriot, and America will miss her influence. Let me tell you something else America is going to miss, because Jill gave financially to a whole bunch of organizations that was red, white, and blue for our country. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. And the last part of that says this, and to die is gain. We are the only people that can say that dying is gain. And Jill would say that right now. To die is gain. What does it mean when we say to die is gain? First of all, we gain a better body. Glorified, immortal, resurrected. This present body of clay is subject to all the tears and sorrows that life is heir to. Age and sickness. And finally, death is the inevitable end of this house made from the dust of the earth. But our resurrected body will never grow old, will never know disease or pain, and will never die. And we never have to say goodbye again. If I can get to in this Bible, Revelation chapter 21. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's just coming apart so bad. Here it is. No, that's not it. Honest to goodness, I'm looking at, this is just part of it. So, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to go to my Bible. Revelation chapter 21. Let me read to you from this. The Apostle John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen to this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. we gain, ladies and gentlemen, a better home. No matter how beautiful your home is here, it is not to be compared with the mansion in the beautiful city of God. We gain a better inheritance. Jill's final reward is not here. It is in heaven. When she stood before God and he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then we gain a better fellowship. We were all born into a dissolving family circle. Tina made mention of the fact that the first funeral I had when I came to the valley was Jeannie Darrigan. And Tina and I were in the room when Jeannie was dying. Jill was there and one of her friends. And when they came in and started turning off the machines that was keeping Jeannie alive, it went from quite a little bit of noise to silence. And I'll never forget Jill just taking a deep breath and a sigh because she had to say goodbye to her mama. We're born into a dissolving family circle. But ladies and gentlemen, please let this speak to your heart. The circle in heaven is unbroken. It will never be broken in heaven. Let me read to you from 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's what the Bible says. Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died in the Lord, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." We are to sorrow for sure, but not like people who have no hope. Our life is filled with hope. That's what Jeremiah said in Lamentations. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep," those who have died. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord and with each other. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Jill believed that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Heaven is more precious to us this afternoon because Jill is there. Someone we loved is there. To her family, because one of their loved ones is there. And to all of us, because our dear friend is there. Jill, we love you, we miss you, and we will see you real soon. Oh, Father, we have so much for which to be thankful when we think about Jill being a part of our lives. What a wonderful Christian woman she was. The fact that she loved the Bible so much and she loved the house of God so much. And she loved us. And we will forever be thankful, and we wait for that time when we will be reunited forever. I'm glad that Jill is there with her mama again. And her mama can hold her and say, "Oh, sweetheart, I'm glad you're here." Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these dear people who have come in their own way to say goodbye to Jill. So, Father, bless them. I lift them up to you and just ask that your perfect will would be done in their lives as we serve you together. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that you will take time for the fellowship. We have a room set up right over here. There's some wonderful pie to eat. And then let's just remember Jill together, all right? All righty, you're dismissed.